You're listening to the Building Psychological Strength Podcast, Professional Edition. My name is April Seifert. Not only am I a doctoral level psychologist, but I've been a successful entrepreneur for a number of years and have learned firsthand that building psychological strength can have a direct impact on your professional success. In this Friday edition of the podcast, I'll offer you tools, tips, tricks, and information to help you become stronger, more resilient, and more successful. Let's get to it. Steve Jobs said, "The only way to do great work is to love what you do." Happy Friday, friends. Welcome to this professional edition of the podcast. And you know what? It's not very often that I begin these episodes with a quote that I don't like, but today I did. No, I don't mean any disrespect to the late Steve Jobs. I think he's a brilliant mind, but I really don't like this quote or quotes like them. Quotes that imply that the only way to succeed and be satisfied at work is for work to be your drive and your passion, to be that be-all, end-all of what makes you whole. Because unfortunately, for most people, that's not the case. And in fact, if there is one problem that one-on-one coaching clients come to me with more than anything else, it's this problem. I don't feel passionate about my work, or I want my work to be my passion. How do I do that? And we hear it all the time, right? This quote from Steve Jobs is just one way, but we hear all the time, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, and other things like that. And that is a lovely idea. That's a lovely experiment. And if it's what you're striving for, man, make it your goal. I mean, go for it. But hear me out in this episode, because I don't think that that necessarily has to be the case. So in the United States, we've talked about this in prior episodes where we've talked about role engulfment, this idea that our identity gets very wrapped up in our title and in the job that we do. This is particularly strong, or something that happens in the United States. We tend to identify with our work and with our title more than other countries and other cultures do. We also work really long hours. And so when you put those two things together, the role that our work plays in our identity and also the amount of our life that our work takes up, we can almost forget that there's life outside of work, or that there's opportunity to be passionate outside of work. We look to this lack of passion in our lives, and the first place we think to get it is from our job. But is that the only place? And that's the question I want to pose. I'm not saying that it's impossible. No one can be passionate about their work. That's definitely not true. But if you are not passionate about your job, and there are real barriers in place for you to make a change, or you're not even sure what direction to go just yet, I would offer that asking yourself the question of, how might I be able to feel that passion or express that passion in ways outside of my job, is a much more near-term, realistic way to get that passion engine fired up than making a sweeping career change. So I want to dive into that a little bit, into why your passion doesn't have to coincide with your work, and then what to do when it doesn't. So if you think about any of the activities that we do, anything that we do, whether it's work or something else outside of work, there are three main outputs that come out of any activity. These are money, their impact, and expression. So money, we get paid to do something. We actually get a financial return from doing something. Impact means we impact the lives of other people. We leave a dent in the world. We leave footprints behind, you know, ourselves as we move through life. And expression, we're able to be creative and express our true being and ourselves, our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas. So money, impact, and expression. Now, I talked about the culture of the United States a bit ago and about how we experience role engulfment. We fuse our identity with our jobs. And one output of that is that we put a lot of pressure in the United States on getting all three of those outputs, money, impact, and expression, from our job. We immediately look to our job and only our job as though it's the only place we can get it, and we have to get enough money to live, enough impact to make us feel like, you know, we're filling that cup, and enough expression. And before I go on, I want to make sure that I mention every single person listening to this is going to need different amounts and different relative amounts of money, impact, and expression. You may not, if you're being honest, care at all about helping others or leaving a dent on society. Maybe your impact needs are relatively low. Don't apologize for that. That's okay. That's just not who you are. But think about what your need is in each of those cups. How big are those cups and how much do they have to be filled up before you feel like you're doing okay? So think about that, right? We think about those three outputs, money, impact, and expression, and we put all of the emphasis on our job. But what if it didn't need to be that way? Lots of times, when I dig into it with folks who come to me with this problem, when they say they can't find their passion, what they're actually saying is that they can't find something that they're passionate about that pays them what they want to get paid. It's an expectations problem. It's not that you can't find something you're passionate about, right? It's that age-old question. What would you do with your time if you won the lottery? If you didn't have to get paid at all, what would you do with your time? That's where your passion is. This is where you would naturally gravitate if you didn't have to earn a living. So lots of times when we say, oh, I can't find my passion, it's because we can't find one that coincides with our work that will pay us what we need to get paid or what we want to get paid. And in the US, I keep going back to this, but it's an important point. We expect to be able to find work that both sparks our passion and makes us a millionaire. But what if you could decouple those? What if you didn't put so much pressure on just your job? What if instead you assess, sit down, do this, think about it. And it doesn't have to be numeric. Just think about, like, I don't know, grab 100 M&Ms and put them in front of you. Don't eat them just yet. You can eat them in a minute. Grab 100 M&Ms and put them in front of you and draw three circles on a piece of paper. One that says money, one that says impact, one that says expression. How many M&Ms would you put in each circle? That tells you relatively how important each of those are to you. Sit down and figure out which ones are more important to you. And maybe, what if you can achieve those levels each in different ways? What if your job is what fills up your money cup? Your job and your work is what gets you to the point where you have enough money, both to live, but also enough money, like the money that you want. What if your hobbies and your interests are what fill up that expression cup? And what if volunteer work is what fills up that impact cup? Or maybe somehow you can combine expression and impact into some type of activity. The point is, what if you can fill each of those three cups with more than one activity so that it makes you whole? What if life is so much more rich than just your career? If your expression and your impact cups, these are basically what we're talking about when we talk about passion, right? Expression and impact. If they're being filled in other ways, with other activities, in other places, you might just find that your job satisfaction increases because there isn't so much pressure on it to be all things to you. That those very real needs for expression and for impact are being filled just in ways that aren't from your job. This is something to consider. I hope you'll take this and apply it to your own profession, apply it to your own desires and goals, and try it out. Let me know how it goes. For real, send me an email, april@peakmindpsychology.com. I want to hear from you about how this goes. Thank you so much for joining me for this professional edition of the Building Psych Strength podcast. If you're an entrepreneur or a business professional and you're interested in becoming more successful, hit the subscribe button. And until next week, friends, be strong, be resilient, and be successful.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.